Welcome to the Shiur Ramban, Parshas Yisro. There's a lot of Ramban on Parshas Yisro, as one can imagine. The Aseres HaDibros, Maimed Har Sinai, represent one of the pivotal aspects of Torah as in general. The Ramban has a lot to say about all of it. I'm going to won't see everything. I want to try to excerpt, however, certain particularly striking Rambans to focus on tonight in the area of understanding Matan Torah and the Aseres HaDibros. So I want to start with sort of the middle of a passage in the Ramban. Thank you. In Perek Chof, Pasuk Zayin. So the Pasuk speaks about the third of the Aseres HaDibros. So Siso Hashem Hashem Elokech Lashov should not take the name of Hashem your God in vain. So after discussing a little bit what the implications of that that mitzvah are, the Ramban writes, "V'nei lashon ha'kostuv hazeh es Hashem elo es Shem Hashem Elokecha ki ilu Moshe yidaber." The pasuk speaks of the name of Hashem, your God, which makes it sound like it's not Hashem himself who's speaking. In other words, if Hashem himself was speaking, he would say, Lo siso es shmi lashov, right? You should not take my name in vain. Instead, it refers to Hashem in the third person, the Shem Hashem Elokecha, the name of Hashem, your God. V'chein b'chol ha'dibros acharichein. And that's true in all of the dibros from the third one, Lo siso Hashem Elokecha lashov, through the end. It refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the third person. U'v'shnayim ha'psukim harishonim. However, when we take a look at the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem Yidaber, it's very clear that it's Hashem himself who's speaking. Anochi Hashem Elokech Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It is I, Hashem, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. You should not have other gods besides me. Right? Ki Anochi Hashem Elokech Kel Kana. I, Hashem, am a jealous God, and I will reward Ohavai and Shomrei Mitzvosai. I will reward those who love me and keep my mitzvos. Right? So there's, says the Ramban, there's actually an abrupt change in the grammar, in the presentation, from the first two dibros to the third dibro to the end. The first two dibros in the psukim, Hashem is speaking, and then all of a sudden, you know, it talks about Hashem in the third person. And it's that which prompts Chazal to say in the Gemara in Makos that Klal Yisrael heard the first two dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yiyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, that Klal Yisrael heard that directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Right? The Gemara darshens it from a different source. The Gemara says that when it says Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, right, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah the Gematria comes out to be 611. So in other words, Moshe taught us 611 of the mitzvahs, but the other two mitzvahs were taught to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So the Ramban is taking that teaching and showing how it goes back. You know, you don't have to have a drasha, you know, to come to that. It goes back to the simple pshat in the psukim. The psukim themselves seem to suggest that there was this shift between the first two dibros and the ones afterwards. Why the first two dibros? What makes the first two dibros different than the subsequent dibros? The Ramban very briefly says, Shehem Iker Hakol. Because if you think about it, you know, the foundation of everything is that there's one God. God took us out of Egypt, and you shouldn't worship any other gods. In a sense, everything else is commentary. You know, there's one God, you can't have other gods. So, you know, because that's so fundamental, it was important for Klal Yisrael to hear that from the Ribbono Shel Olam directly. Afterwards, you know, they could hear through an intermediary, through Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Avram Hiksha. So the Ibn Ezra, as he so often does, has a question on this tradition from Chazal, which again the Ramban wants to say is rooted in the Psukim themselves, this tradition that there's this difference between the first two dibros and the subsequent dibros. Ki akosuv omar vaydaber elokim es kol hadvarim ha'eleh. The Aseres HaDibro start out by saying, Hashem spoke all of these words. So what do you mean? Hashem spoke the first two Dibros to Klal Yisrael, and then, you know, subsequently they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. It sounds like everything is being presented from HaKadosh Baruch Hu without making any distinction. And even more explicit than this, as hadvarim ha'ela diber Hashem el kol kehalchem. Later on in Parshas Voschanon, when it reiterates the story of Matan Torah, it says these words, these ten, you know, Aseres HaDibros, Hashem spoke el kol kehalchem to your entire congregation. That sounds like he told all Aseres HaDibros to Klal Yisrael. And then it goes on to say that, you know, they were written down on the two tablets, kikash, and that implies kikasher amara malkol kalchem ken kosvam ala luchos. In other words, whatever was written down on the luchos was what was said to the entire congregation of Klal Yisrael. So that's the Ibn Ezra asks, you know, this doesn't really fit. You know, the Ramban, they want to fit it in to the psukim here by Aseres HaDibros. But this notion of a distinction between the first two Dibros and the subsequent Dibros doesn't seem to fit the Psukim in Parshas Voschanon either. So explains the Ramban, let me explain to you what Chazal have in mind when they say that there's this distinction between the first two Dibros and the subsequent Dibros. Bivadai shukol aseres ha-dibros shamu kol yisrael mipi alokim kipshuto shol kasuf. It's obvious, says the Ramban, that Klal Yisrael heard all ten commandments from the Ribbono shel Olam directly, as the psukim imply in Parshas Voschanon. Es hadvarim ha'ela diber Hashem el kol kehalchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said these ten utterances, no, these aseres ha-dibros, to the entire Klal Yisrael. So the Ibn Ezra is right on a certain level, you know, that everything was said to Klal Yisrael. But what Chazal means is as follows: Avu b'shnei hadibros harishonos hayushomim hadibur mevinin oso mimenu kasher yovin oso Moshe. By the first two dibros, Klal Yisrael heard the dibros; they heard the first two commandments from Hashem, and they understood the Dibros in exactly the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand the Dibros. And it was like the master was speaking to his servant. In other words, Klal Yisrael were able to experience and understand the first two Dibros without difficulty. However, from Dibra number 3 to the end, Bishara Dibros Yishmu Kol Hadibur Lo Yovinu Oso. Klal Yisrael heard the rest of the Dibros from number 3 to number 10, but they didn't understand it. Yitzarech Moshe L'targem Lohem Kol Dibur V'Dibur Asher Avinu Oso Mimoshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu's role was not just simply to tell the people, you may not realize this, but Hashem just said something, and you know this is what he said. But the people heard the words of Hashem, they just couldn't understand it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, translated the words of Hashem to the people. Just to amplify this Ramban a little bit, you know, I think when it, perhaps in our minds, when we picture what Maimon Har Sinai was like, you know, we think back to perhaps a play that we had in first grade or something like that, where, you know, the notion of the entire people hearing the Dibros by Har Sinai is, you know, some kid behind the curtain getting a megaphone and shouting out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, Kabbid Esovicho V'Yasimecha. We assume that, you know, there was a booming voice at Maimon Har Sinai. The Ramban is saying, he's going to elaborate on this a little bit. What happened at Maimon Har Sinai was the highest form of Nevuah. It's the highest form of prophecy that you could possibly imagine. It was what Moshe Rabbeinu experienced on a regular basis when Hashem spoke to him, but now all of the people were being raised temporarily to the prophetic level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, you know, it's not just like a simple thing like, oh, there's a booming voice and you hear the booming voice of Hashem. You can, I assume, I don't really know, but I assume the way Nevuah works is that you know, you can tune into the frequency, but it still takes a certain level of nevuah to understand what's being said. You know, again, you know, with the radio, you can tune in to a certain station, but, you know, the station isn't always clear. You don't always have such good reception. So Klal Yisrael, you know, heard everything being taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, but the reception was only clear by Dibra number one and Dibra number two. Now, what's the point of that? You know, what's the point of giving Klal Yisrael fuzzy reception, you know, for number three through number ten, you know, such that Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain to them what this nevuah actually means? Let's talk about it in a few moments as we continue going through the Ramban.
It said something that after the first two dibras, they worried that they would die, and somehow had to be some left of the nevuah.
Right, so the Ramban is understanding that, you know, again, you know, the Midrashim that talk about how they were worried they were going to die after the first two Dibros, or they did die after the two Dibros and they were brought back to life. The Ramban is presumably understanding that somewhat less literally. In other words, that it means they were overwhelmed by the Nevuah, and therefore for the subsequent Dibros, you know, there was a low, you know, Hashem, you know, as it were, turn down the level of Nevuah. So when you turn down the level of Nevuah, you're able to get, you can tune into the station, but you can't necessarily understand everything that's going on. I mean, the Ramban doesn't reference those Midrashim, but it would seem like that's how he would explain those Midrashim, that somehow, somehow giving over the Nevuah in such a way that the people hear that Hashem is speaking, but don't quite understand the words, you know, is an important aspect of Nevuah, but isn't quite as frightening or as terrifying as what they experienced the first times around. Again, remember, you know, we perhaps have this image of Maamar Har Sinai, just, you know, Hashem is speaking into a megaphone, you know, and, you know, you hear these big booming words. Again, we don't really understand what Nevuah is, but, you know, the Nevi'im do describe the experience of Nevuah as being a terrifying experience. You know, the person is, you know, falls into this very, very scary trance. So we can only imagine that Maamar Har Sinai was many, many times a typical experience of Nevuah and was terrifying. And to the extent to which the level of Nevuah was able to be turned down a little bit, probably also reassured the people to some extent. So that's essentially the Ramban is saying, you know, the Ibn Ezra is right and Chazal are right. In other words, everybody's right over here. The Ibn Ezra is right that they heard all 10 Dibros, but Chazal are correct that, you know, they only understood the first two Dibros. Everything afterwards had to be explained to them by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kachay Mefarshir Moshe Yedaber V'Ha'elokim Yanenu V'Kol. And that, says the Ramban, is how Chazal would explain the pasuk back in Perek Yutes. Moshe spoke, and Hashem ya'anenu, right? He literally responded with a loud voice. So I believe what the Ramban is saying over here in Pshat in the pasuk is as follows. We know that the word la'anos is oftentimes translated as to answer, to respond, but it can also be interpreted as to call out loudly. Zekeli Anu V'Amru, right? Now, as we say in the davening, they called out by Yamsub Zekeli. So, I think the Ramban is explaining Moshe Yedaber V'Elokim Yanenu V'Kol. Hashem called out these words of the Aseres HaDibros in a loud voice, and Moshe Yedaber, and then Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed, explained what they meant, you know, to the people who got, you know, they heard there was a loud voice, but they couldn't really understand anything beyond that.
Why is it reversed?
You know, it's interesting, right? So according to Ramban, it is a little bit difficult why it's switched. I guess the way the Ramban would explain it is something along the lines of Moshe explained that which Hashem had called out in a loud voice. But again, you do have to play with the syntax a little bit, you know, to make it work according to the Ramban. But I think that's how the Ramban would interpret the pasuk. V'alkein hayu bohem divrei Hashem imoshe shiomar lohem kein. Right, so you know, that's how Hashem conveyed to Moshe to convey these things to the people. So v'akavana haisa bozeh. So what's the point of this? In other words, why Davka have the people hear the first two Dibros, or why Davka have the people understand the first two Dibros, and yet, and then convey to them, have them hear the third through tenth Dibros without being able to understand. The Kavana Bazeh, the intention through this, Kedeshiyu Kulam Nevi'im Be'amunas Hashem Ube'Ister Avodah Zarah. The first two Dibros represent the notion of belief in God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then the prohibition against Avodah Zarah is the second of the Dibros. As the Rambam just said, these ideas are the foundation of the entire Torah. The belief in God, the prohibition against Avodah Zarah. The Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Rambam, wanted every single Jew to be a Navi in a direct fashion to hear those things from Hashem himself. Every Jew should have Nevuah to directly be told the foundations of Yiddishkeit. L'fi Sheheim Ha'ikar L'chol HaTorah V'HaMitzvos K'mo She'omer HaKel Yisra'om V'Yashmim Esvoroi Asher Yilmedun L'Yiro'o Si Kol HaYomim. In Voice Chanon, when the story of Matan Torah is introduced for the second time in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, gather the people to me, I will let them hear my words. They should learn to fear me forever and ever. Meaning, when a Jew has that experience of Nevuah, that's a transformative experience. And when he hears from God directly, you shall believe in me, you shall not have any other gods, that's a sort of direct communication which will instill Yiras Shamayim in that person. And that person will then be able to teach that experience of Yiras Shamayim to the next generation. It's important that that be something that every single Jew at the time, at least, experience, and not just something which is conveyed to them, you know, vicariously through Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval b'shar hadibros yikablu b'pi Moshe bi'uron im shmi asan kol advarim u'v'shar hamitzvos yaminu b'Moshe b'kol. When it comes to the rest of the dibros, in other words, 3 through 10, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have them hear the words, but have Moshe Rabbeinu explain them to them. And with the rest of the mitzvos, you know, outside of those 10 dibros, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's important that you hear them from Moshe Rabbeinu and you don't hear them from me at all. So the question is, what does that accomplish? The Ramban focuses on, you know, the role and the importance of Klal Yisrael hearing the first two dibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, that they should be Nevi'im. Not just they should hear from Nevi'im, they should be Nevi'im. For those first two fundamental mitzvos, great, amazing. But what do you accomplish by having Klal Yisrael hear Dibros 3 through 10, and then have Moshe Rabbeinu explain them to them? So I would suggest, I don't know if this is what the Ramban means, if you don't like it, money back at the end of the class, but I would suggest that perhaps the hashkafa behind it is the following very, very important hashkafa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Maimed Har Sinai is teaching Klal Yisrael the centrality of the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, the centrality of the concept that the Torah itself as is in its written form is not totally understandable. You need an oral tradition which is going to be conveyed to you by the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael and by all of the Rebbeim of Klal Yisrael after him in order to make Torah intelligible. And that is a lesson that's given to Klal Yisrael at Maimed Har Sinai itself. You'll hear words, you'll know that they come from Hashem, but you won't be able to understand them until Moshe Rabbeinu explains what they mean. That builds the foundation for the whole concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. Understand that you don't understand. That's an incredibly important idea, which I believe, you know, according to the Ramban, is being conveyed to Klal Yisrael at Maimed Har Sinai. You know, you'll hear Hashem talking, you'll hear that is Hashem talking, you know that Hashem said very important things because you heard directly Anochi and Lo Yiyeh Lecha, the first two Dibros, but you also realize you can't understand what on earth Hashem is saying until Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and explains it. So in other words, the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah being explained by the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael is an integral part from the get-go, at the very reception of the Torah itself. Okay, that's one, I think, very, very important piece from the Ramban that we started off with tonight. I want to briefly speak about the second very famous concept that the Ramban puts down in this week's Sedra. The Ramban has an incredibly long commentary on the Pasuk Zocher Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, and he touches on a lot of things in that commentary. I'm going to pick one piece out of that commentary, one idea out of that commentary, and just say it over, because I think it's a famous Ramban. Be even more famous after we say it over tonight, because even more people, Bez Hashem, will know it. And just a very, very important idea in the Ramban. So the Ramban talks about the statement from Chazal that, as we know, in Yisro, Shabbos is introduced by the word Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. In Voschanon, Shabbos is introduced with the word Shomar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Right? Chazal say famously, Zachar v'Shomar b'dibur echad namru. You know, Zachar and Shomar were said simultaneously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's, we say that in the L'chod Odi, Friday night. Right? Shomar v'Zachar b'dibur echad hishmiyanu keo hamiyuchad. So what's the difference between Zachar and Shomar? So he says, v'emes u'gamken ki midas Zachar ramzo b'mitzvah saseh. Zachar, remember Shabbos, speaks of the mitzvos asei, the positive mitzvos of Shabbos. Right? Shomor, guard Shabbos, speaks about the mitzvos losa asei of Shabbos, the negative mitzvos of Shabbos. So to speak, the do's of Shabbos and the don'ts of Shabbos. When we speak about the mitzvos asei, the positive mitzvos of Shabbos, positive mitzvos stem from the concept of ahava, of love, the midah of rachamim, the attribute of God's divine mercy. Ki ha'osa mitzvas adonav ahuvlo. When you perform your master's request, you are beloved to your master. The adonav merachem alav, and the master shows you mercy. Umidas shamar b'mitzvas losa asei. When it comes to the concept of Shomor, of guard Shabbos, that speaks to the losa aseis, to the negative mitzvot of Shabbos. V'hu l'midas hadin v'yotzei m'midas hayira. And the mitzvot losa asei pertain to the mitzvah of to the midah, the attribute of strict justice, and are related to the concept of yira, of fear or reverence. Ki anishmar me'asos dova rabbe ne'adonov. If a person is careful not to do something that his master finds displeasing, yare also, so he displays fear of the master, and you know, so that's what the los aseis are about. Aseis are connected to the idea of ava, of love. Los aseis are connected to the idea of yira, of fear. V'lachein mitzvus asei gedola mimitzvus los asei. That's why we find, says the Ramban, that positive mitzvahs are actually greater than negative mitzvahs. Kimo sheha'ava gedola mehayira. Because we find in service of Hashem as well, serving Hashem out of love is considered to be on a higher level than serving Hashem out of fear. Ki hamikayim v'osa begufo uva mamono ratzon adonav hu gadol me'anishmar me'asos farad be'enav. Because it's a greater thing to exert yourself both physically and monetarily on behalf of Hashem. You know, I can't really afford that lulav and esrog, but I'm gonna buy it anyway. I'm gonna push myself, you know, to put on, I don't wanna wake up in the morning, but I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna put on tefillin, daven shacharis, even though it's hard for me. When you do that, that displays something even greater than staying away from negative, from aveiros. V'lochein amru da'osei asei v'docha losa asei. Says the Ramban, that's why we have a concept of asei docha losa asei. That sometimes when you have a conflict between a mitzvah asei, a positive mitzvah, and a mitzvah losa asei, a negative mitzvah, the positive mitzvah pushes aside the negative mitzvah. Why should that be? So says the Ramban, it all goes back to this idea. Ahava is superior to yira, so a mitzvah which is rooted in ahava should push aside a mitzvah which is rooted in yira. Umipnei zeh Yiyeh ha'onesh b'mitzvos lo sa'aseh gadol v'osin bo din kegon malchus u'misa v'ein osin bo din b'mitzvos sa'aseh klal ela b'mordin kemo lulav v'tzitzis eini oseh sukkah eini oseh shesanhedrin ha'yu makin oso ad sheyikabel olov lasos o'ad shetetzei nafsho. Right, so that explains as well, says the Ramban, why the punishment for mitzvahs lo sa'aseh is greater than the punishment for failing to do mitzvah sa'aseh. If a person says, I'm not going to, a person violates a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, a negative commandment, he can get malchus, he can get lashes, he can get misa, he could be punished with capital punishment, you know, that's a big deal. And yet, you know, when it comes to a mitzvah sa'aseh, the only time that a person ever gets punished is where he refuses to do a mitzvah sa'aseh. In other words, the Beis Din calls him in and says, okay, put on tefillin. No, I'm not going to put on tefillin. No, I'm not going to shake a lulav. You know, unless the person is rebellious in that kind of way, the failure to do a mitzvah sa'aseh still doesn't bring with it the punishment that accompanies a mitzvah lo sa'aseh. So the Ramban presents this as something which we can understand in light of his characterization of mitzvahs asei as being ava, mitzvahs lo sa'aseh being yira, and that's why mitzvahs asei are on a higher level than mitzvahs lo sa'aseh. On the surface, it's hard to understand what the proof is exactly. In other words, you know, you're telling me that mitzvahs asei are on a higher level than mitzvahs lo sa'aseh. So therefore, I would expect that the punishment for mitzvahs asei is a greater punishment for failing to do mitzvahs asei is greater than the punishment for not doing. For doing mitzvahs lo sa'aseh, and yet the Ramban is saying it's exactly the opposite. We know it's exactly the opposite. There's a greater punishment for violating a negative commandment than there is for not carrying out a positive commandment. So what's the point? what's he saying? You know, what's the proof that he's saying? It would seem to me that he's saying as follows: because we've defined mitzvahs asei as stemming from ahava, from love, the minute you introduce a punitive component into anything having to do with the mitzvah, you take away the love. You know, if somebody says, I'll love you, you know, if you beat me up, I guess I'll love you, right? So there's something very, very not right about that, right? You can say, I fear you because I fear what you're going to do to me in terms of punishment, but the whole point of love is that it's supposed to be generated on its own. You're not supposed to punish a person into loving someone else. So I think what the Ramban is saying is, despite the fact that mitzvahs asei are indeed on a higher level than mitzvahs lo sa'aseh, don't be misled by the fact that the punishments for mitzvahs lo sa'aseh are greater than those for mitzvahs asei, because not really having punishments associated with the failure to carry out mitzvahs asei is part of the ahava which is supposed to be generated by mitzvahs asei and would be compromised by if you put any punitive element into the world of mitzvahs asei whatsoever. Okay, this is a very small piece of this Ramban by Zochus Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Be'ezus Hashem, when we pick up after Ma'ariv, we'll talk about yet a third Ramban, where the Ramban talks about the organization of the Aseres HaDibros. And again, we'll see that he has a lot to say on that particular issue. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lizakos says he's... Welcome to the second half of the Shir Ramban of Parshas Yisrael. So this Ramban I'd like to take a look at talks about the organization of the Aseres HaDibros. So this is in Perichov, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where we have Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinov, Lo Signov. So Amar, he names to be Sicho Lahodos, Shani Borei Esako Belevu V'maisa. So in explaining the continuity of the thought process in the Aseres HaDibros, says the Ramban, it's as if Hashem was saying, I've told you that you have to acknowledge that I'm the Creator, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You have to not worship any other gods. You have to respect my name. And you have to keep Shabbos, because Shabbos is the way of demonstrating in a tangible way, but Maisa, that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to give respect to your parents, because they are partners in the creation of man. In Cain, so once you do all of that, that's the first five Dibros, Hishomer Pentachbo Masve Yodai. Be very careful not to destroy my handiwork. Right? Don't spill human blood. And don't commit adultery. Why is it so important to not engage in adultery? I mean, we can understand why it's important, but what does it have to do with the continuity of ideas? So he says, if people go around committing adultery, it will undermine the concept of kibud avoe, kilo yedu es aviem. People will not know who their fathers are. Right? The whole idea of adultery undermines the idea of parenthood. How can you respect parents if you don't know who the parents actually are? Unfortunately, we... What's that?
The father may be, not the mother.
Right, and Ochinami, right? But you might know who the mother is. But again, if you don't know who the father is, so then it's a breakdown of the whole concept of showing respect to parents.
But would he approve, let's say, the woman wasn't of childbearing age?
Right, so not every case of adultery is going to fit the parameters exactly. But in other words, in general terms, prohibiting adultery, it ensures that kibud av is going to be maintained. Kasher yasu, fine. Yachad kein his here lo signog nefesh, kiu kamo kein goren kozos. Also then, the Torah says, don't kidnap, right? That's lo signo, don't kidnap. Because that also leads to a lessening of honor for other people. I guess if you don't honor people's bodies, you can just kidnap people. And where they don't know who their parents are, let's say you literally kidnap, you kidnap a child, and raise him away from his parents. He doesn't understand who his parents are. So then, you're also undermining kibud av va'em. Fine. Vihine hiskir biksas hadibros gemulam uviksasam lo hiskir. It's interesting to note, says the Ramban, that some of the dibros carry with them a reward or punishment, others don't. So to be more specific, the dibra sheni kel kana, right, in the second dibra where it talks about not having other gods, it says God is a vengeful God, and that's the implication being, if you worship Avodah Zarah, God's going to avenge himself. Bishlishi kilo yinakeh. When it talks about not taking God's name in vain, it says God will not forgive the one who takes his name in vain. Again, the idea of punishment. Bachamishi l'man yarichun. By kibud avoim, it talks about you should honor your parents in order that you should have long life. Lo yizkir ba'acherim onesh oschar. And yet there's no mention of reward and punishment by any of the other seven dibros. Why is that? So he says as follows: V'hayos ki achamisha dvarim ha'achronim tovas ha'adam heim v'hinei scharo itol pulasu lefanov avu b'avodah zarah tzarech hasaras onesh l'chomer agadol sheba v'hu l'kvod ha'borei. So the first thing Rabban says is that there are no punishments or rewards mentioned altogether for the last five dibros, because those are all ben adam l'chaveiro. And there, says the Rabban, the Torah doesn't have to give you an outside incentive of reward and punishment to observe the last five dibros, because we understand that in the end of the day, observing the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvos is for our own good. If we're going to be careful not to murder people, so we create a society in which people don't murder, so that benefits all of us. If we create a society where people don't kidnap, that benefits all of us. If we create a society where people don't force one another into giving things they don't want, losachma, or we don't bear false witness, or we don't commit adultery, at the end of the day, that benefits everybody. So in other words, we understand, from a utilitarian perspective, why those mitzvahs ultimately carry their own reward. It creates a society which is going to be good for us. Avodah Zarah is something where you don't immediately see the consequences, and it's a big deal. So there, the Torah has to say, you know, you're going to be punished if you worship Avodah Zarah. Ki kel kano Hashem Elokecha. More than that, Anirei like Omer kel kano alo yielecha, for Omer ve'oseh chesed al onochi. This goes back to some extent to what the Ramban spoke about in Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Says the Ramban, if you look in the second Dibra, it says that, you know, don't worship other gods. Again, Perek Chav Pasuk Gimel. O Yeh Elecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponoi. Right? And then in Pasuk K, it says, Ki Onochi Hashem Elokecha Kel Kano. I'm a jealous God, and I punish, you know, I hold the children accountable for their sins of their fathers for multiple generations. But I reward those who love me and do my mitzvos for thousands of generations. So the Ramban says, here we have an example of a punishment and a reward. The punishment pertains to the lo sa'aseh, the lo yelecha Elohim acherim al ponai, because the nature of a lo sa'aseh is that if you violate it, as we said before, you get a punishment. The reward pertains to belief in Hashem. Va'osa chesed la'alofim, li'ohav ha'lishom ha'mitzvosai, pertains to the mitzvah sa'aseh, the positive mitzvah of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kabolus ma'achus hakel v'azharas avodas zuloso inyan echad. In a sense, believing in God and not worshipping other things is two sides of the same coin. So in other words, are really, you know, just addressing both the first Dibra and the second Dibra. So in other words, both number one and two have a reward and punishment attached to them. Furthermore, right, so in the third Dibra, a shvuah shav of taking God's name in vain, there's the punishment, lo yinakeh, God will not cleanse you. V'lo izkir b'shabbos gemur klal, v'lo omar al-machal shabbos onesh ha-korei, so onesh ha-cher zulosno, v'lo hizkir schar al-ha-shomer shabbos mechal lo, v'bnei sh'ha-shabbos nichlal b'shtei mitzvot ha-rishonos, ki ha-shomer shabbos meir al-mais ha-breishis u'mod of the mitzvot ha-nochi,
so
says the Rabban, it's striking how there's no reward or punishment mentioned for Shmira Shabbos, right? At least in the Aseret HaDibros. It doesn't say if you don't keep Shabbos, you'll get skila, kares, whatever it is. It doesn't say if you do keep Shabbos, you'll be rewarded. So what's pshat? Why is that? So says the Rabban, because all Shabbos really is the manifestation in action of the first two Dibros. Right? In other words, keeping Shabbos is the equivalent of proclaiming indeed your belief in Hashem. Violating Shabbos is the equivalent of worshipping Avodah Zarah, of denying a belief in Hashem. So if the Torah has already laid down a reward for believing in Hashem, osa chesed la'alofim, and a punishment for worshipping Avodah Zarah, poket avon avos, so that includes Shabbos. Both keeping Shabbos as well as desecrating Shabbos is included in that as well. So this formulation of the Ramban, that there's no need within the Aseret HaDibros to talk about reward or punishment for Shabbos because it's included in Onochi and Oli Yalucha, helps us understand in Halacha the fact that a Mechalel Shabbos is considered to be not Jewish in certain senses, right? He's as if he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He doesn't have many of the privileges associated with being Jewish. Again, leaving aside modern day Mechalel Shabbos with the whole lumbus of the Achronim, they're Tinoka Shenishbu, they don't know any better. But, you know, on a strict level, you know, somebody who's a Jew who's a Mechalel Shabbos is, you know, loses many of his Jewish privileges. You know, things that we don't necessarily find with regard to other Averos, even other big Averos. You know, a person could be a Rotseach, you know, he could be a murderer, and yet his Jewishness is not taken away from him as a result. But Shmira Shabbos and Chilul Shabbos, you know, are directly flow from the first and second Dibros, says the Ramban, in a very, very real sense. And we see that the way the Dibros themselves are structured. And finally, when we get to Kabbalah, which is a mitzvah saseh, so that the Torah does tell us what the schar for the mitzvah itself is. Because as the mitzvah saseh, it's all about ava, as we said before, it's all about love, and therefore we don't talk in terms of punishment, we talk in terms of the reward one gets for displaying one's ava, one's love, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, a lot of what the Ramban writes over here plugs back in to his discussion about Ava and Yira in the context of Mitzvah Saseh and Mitzvah Lo Saseh, which he spoke about earlier. The Hanira, so that's in terms of the mention of Schar Va'onesh in the Dibros. He goes on to talk about further. Hanira b'michtav aluchos shahayu achamesh rishonos b'luach echad shem kovar abore kemoshi iskarti v'chamesh hashniyos b'luach echad. It would appear, as you know, as we always depict the Dibros, that the Dibros were broken up five on one luach and five on the second luach. And the reason for that, says the Ramban, is that the first five Dibros are Ben Adam Lamakom, the second five Dibros are Ben Adam L'Chaveru. In other words, this is an idea which we grew up with, a very, very common idea, but the truth is, as much as the Torah talks about the ten, you know, the Aseres HaDibros, and it talks about the two Luchos, it doesn't describe how the Dibros were subdivided. Truth be told, if you were to subdivide the Dibros based on word count, right, you would have most of the Dibros on the second Luach, because the last five Dibros are very, very short, right? So in terms of word count, I don't know exactly how it would come out, but it would come out lopsided, right? It would not come out five and five. But it was very important, says the Ramban, that it's five and five. Why is that? So now the Ramban gets a little bit Kabbalistic. Ke'inish yizkaiti b'sefer yitzira be'eser sfiros b'lima k'mispar eser etzba'os chamesh k'neged chamesh. It's kind of like, says the Ramban, the ten sfiros, the ten divine emanations, ten ways in which we recognize aspects of Hashem. It corresponds to the ten fingers, and in the ten fingers as well, there are five fingers on one hand and five fingers on the other hand. And now you understand why there were two luchos. Because the first five dibros represent Torah Shebikstav, the written Torah, the last five dibros represent Torah Shebalpeh. V'nira shelozer ramzu rabuseinu zal. It would appear that this is what Chazal have in mind when they say in the Tanchuma and Ekev, shtei luchos keneged shomayim ba'aretz, the two luchos correspond to heaven and earth, uchneged chasam v'kala, they correspond to a bride and groom, uchneged shnei shushvinin, they correspond to the two people who accompany the chasam to the chuppah, uchneged shnei olamim, and they correspond to olam hazeh and olam haba, v'kozeh remez echad. And all of this is the same hint. V'amaskil yovin hasod. And if you were wise, you'll understand the secret. Yeah, I wish the Rebbe was wise, right? So, what on earth is he talking about?
It's only parts of two luchas. It's always the first is two luchas, and the second luchas are also two luchas.
Right. So, in other words, you know,
not the first luchas.
Right. No. He means that, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, each time, you know, the Dibros are, you know, it's not just a tablet, it's two tablets, right? You know, as per the old joke, if it's free, I'll take two, right? That's the old joke. I guess it's, okay, doesn't get any better with age. Kitzer HaMaisa, what on earth is Ramban talking about? So I will hazard a guess, again, you know, not based on any Kabbalistic understanding, but it would seem that the Ramban is picking various couplets. He's pointing out, based on the Medrash, that there are various things in creation where, in order for something to function fully, you need two things to come together. In other words, you know, the two things represent halves of a whole. Shamayim va'aretz, there's heaven and there's earth. There's a chasam, there's a kala. There's a Torah Shebikstav, the Torah Shebaalpeh. In other words, there's a completion which is created, you know, by virtue of having these two parts. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to convey through the Aseres HaDibros that's the way creation itself is made up. Creation is always about by bringing two things together, it creates something greater. In other words, you know, there's always creation as a whole is based on the notion of partnerships, right? You know, a healthy partnership, you know, where each thing is a little bit different, but each thing complements the other, enables something truly spectacular, you know, to come out. You know, in a sense, thesis and antithesis. You know, you have one thing, you have, you know, something which is not necessarily opposed to it, but different, you know, from the first thing. So as we have Torah Shebikhtav, the Torah Shebikhtav is incomplete without Torah Shebaalpeh. You have a chasson, the chasson without the kala, you know, it's not a couple. You have Shomayim, but the heavens without an earth, you know, it's not a universe. So too, the Bein Adam L'Chaver and the Bein Adam L'Amakom, you know, or Bein Adam L'Amakom, Bein Adam L'Chaver, which are represented by the two Luchos, complement one another and are necessary for one another. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to create, you know, what Torah ultimately represents. Okay, we will pick up next week. Amir Sashem, wish everybody a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbos.